And it's Friday, 4:05. So come with me and co-juror Bennett Harrison as we enter Entertainment Court with Richard Krause.
Order in the Entertainment Court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
Judge Krause, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much. Great to hear your voice. Thank you for sitting in and hosting The Rush last week as well.
Super fun. You know, that it's such a fun show to do. I had a blast, and it was nice to be there while the sun was shining, because I'm usually there when it's dark.
Yeah, for News Talk tonight. We have co-juror Ben Harrison alongside here.
Judge Krause, happy to have you here. Permission to approach the bench.
Absolutely.
What is your first case?
Okay, so last week, as you know, I sat in for Reshmi on The Rush just as Taylor Swift announced that she would do 6 shows in Toronto, November 14th, 15th, 16th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd of 2024, all taking place at the Rogers Centre. We talked about it. And then we talked about it some more. And then we continued to talk about it for the rest of the day, then most of the next day, and right up until right now, when we're still talking about it. Almost immediately, I started getting texts and tweets asking why we were spending so much time on Taylor Swift. She's not news, people said. And yet, here we are still talking about Taylor Swift. So my question is, have the media all turned into Swifties? Or is this real news?
Oh, it's totally real news. I mean, anyone who can inspire thousands of people to fill King Street like they did last year, just believing that they might have a chance at seeing Taylor Swift, I think inspires people, gets people moving. She's one of the biggest players in the entertainment industry today. Everyone's watching what her next move is going to be. She's a seismic force to be reckoned with. Her music might not be for me, but I do think that this is real news.
I think that SARSFest, Dansview Park, I think the efforts with the Rolling Stones and things like that, that's newsworthy. I have been hesitant, Judge, because there are so many amazing artists who could use the kind of free advertising that newsrooms are giving Taylor Swift. But there is a news angle to the frustration and the efforts among Torontonians trying to get tickets. So it's mixed. We don't have to advertise that she's coming, but the problems around trying to getting to see her, that's newsworthy.
Okay, here's my verdict. Not all news has to be bad. Not all news has to be generated from the back rooms of Queen's Park. Not all news has to come from press releases, whistleblowers, or police blotters. News is defined as newly received or noteworthy information, especially about recent or important events. And Taylor Swift, who is poised to inject a seismic amount of money into our local economy and bring some much-needed excitement to downtown Toronto, which has been slow to recover after lockdowns, is news. She doesn't need the press, but Toronto needs her. For instance, the Common Sense Institute, a U.S. think tank that promotes Colorado's economy, found that Swift's 2 shows in July there led to a $140 million boost to the state's GDP for the year. That is news, and it is estimated that Toronto will reap an estimated windfall somewhere in the neighborhood of the GDP of many small countries while she is in our city. That is news. You may not like Taylor Swift, but she is a cultural phenomenon, so the notion that she isn't news, well, you're going to have to shake that off. And that is my word.
What's our next case, Judge?
Barbie had a $1 million hit, or was a $1 billion hit at the box office, and rumor has it that Warner Brothers is hoping to keep the Mattel momentum going to try and push forward a Hot Wheels movie. Mattel's CEO called Barbie a milestone in the toy maker's history and says the lesson they learned from the film's success is that they now, quote, realize that people who buy our product are not just consumers, they are fans. In other words, they like us. They really, really like us. Now it's time to cash in. But here's my question. Does the success of Barbie signal an interest in movies based on childhood toys, or is it a once-in-a-generation cultural phenomenon?
What I've been hearing from people who have seen the Barbie movie, I have not, Judge, I'm sorry, I don't plan to, but I've heard from women who are really excited to hear that feminist attitude, perspective, take on Barbie. But to me, Barbie represented the anti-feminist movement, right? Like, I didn't want to be Barbie. And maybe it's not the doll's fault. Maybe it's the people I grew up around. But I think it's ironic that Barbie is trying to be the feminist movement that came out of pushing back against that tiptoed dress. So I'm not into it.
Barbie, this movie is a once-in-a-generation cultural phenomenon, just like you described it, Richard, because unless you have a director like Greta Gerwig making a movie about a Mattel toy and able to deconstruct and interrogate the myths and legacies and histories that Barbie has inspired, you're not going to get a very good movie. You're going to get what ends up being what feels like an ad. So unless I'm going to see Quentin Tarantino's Hot Wheels or Martin Scorsese's The Ouija Board, I don't know if I'm going to want to see another movie based on a toy unless there's real talent behind it.
Well, here's my verdict. A Hot Wheels movie, I think we have that already. It's a franchise called Cars, and Disney did it years ago. Movies about toys are not new. The Lego movies have done well. Transformers transformed the box office for a decade or so. And there was even a movie based on the board game Clue. So the realization that toys can sell movies and vice versa should not be treated as some kind of stunning revelation. Barbie is a movie based on a toy for sure, but that was just a part of its success. The staying power of the movie is owed to something very rare in the toy movie market. That is the alchemy that a filmmaker like Greta Gerwig brings to the work. She elevated the story, making a movie with style and substance. One that is inextricably linked to a larger cultural conversations like those around femininity and feminism. It's got a good beat and you can dance to it. The real lesson here is that not all toys are created equally. Barbie worked because it struck a chord with viewers in a way that a movie based on The Viewmaster, for instance, probably won't. And believe it or not, there is a movie in development about The Viewmaster. The lesson here isn't that toys sell movies. It should be that good movies, movies that entertain and make you think, can do boffo box office. And that is my verdict.
Judge Chris, what is your final case?
Disney Plus are raising their prices. So effective in October, Disney Plus Premium will come into play, which currently costs about $10.99 a month. It'll see a 27% price increase, at which point you'll have to fork over about $13.99 a month or $139.99 per year to keep enjoying an ad-free experience. Those who already subscribe to Disney Plus ad-free tiers will be able to sign up for a new dual premium bundle, and that's going to be launched in September, and that's going to cost about $20 a month. So my question here is streaming getting too expensive?
I think so. I've had to cut back on a couple of my streaming platforms. I split them between my girlfriend and I. I do Netflix, Disney Plus, and Criterion Channel. She does Amazon and at least a couple of other ones as well. And so for us, you know, we're budgeting, we're figuring out which platforms we're going to use, which ones might not be so viable. And I think that these are decisions that people are going to make. Or you do see people subscribe and then they cancel their subscription. And then once that platform gets something else that they want to add, they might double back and go back to it.
I know I'm a sucker, Judge. If I added up all of my subscriptions, it would be more than what I was complaining about with a cable bill 20 years ago. But for some reason, I'm just going to keep paying.
Well, people used to complain about the cost of cable, and so it does seem like everything old is new again. The disruptors in the television landscape, the companies like Netflix and the other streamers who revolutionized the way that we watch television, are quietly and quickly reverting back to the same old business model they once sought to upend. Studies, though, suggest that consumers find streaming too expensive. There's fatigue about the number of streamers, and they're upset at the crackdown on password sharing. But here's the thing. Streaming, even with its price increases, a study recently discovered, still isn't as expensive as cable. I think it seems expensive because people have gotten used to not paying for their entertainment, bootlegging, watching stuff on YouTube, that kind of thing. I don't love that the prices keep going up and that there are ads creeping into the streaming world. But I do like that the streamers, unlike their traditional network counterparts, tend to take chances. Who else would fund a 4-hour-long Martin Scorsese movie? Apple TV Plus. That's who, to me, that's worth a few bucks, and that is my verdict.
Thank you, Judge Krause. Wishing you a lovely weekend.
Thanks. Right back at you.
That is Richard Krause derobing for the weekend as we exit entertainment court. Thank you so much, co-juror Ben Harrison.
Thank you.
He's going to go back to producing the best show in the business. And we will be right back after traffic right here on The Rush. News Talk 1010 Toronto.